Okay, confidants, welcome to another fantastical, fun, sexual, intelligent, bitch, boss, ass, shit episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure that we don't know everything. And I am so hyped to have these two sluts on. I've been listening to their podcast forever. They let me come on their podcast and talk about the book. That episode's out. They are podcast host extraordinaires of the Girls Gotta Eat, viral, exciting, modern woman love dating advice podcast. Raina and Ashley, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh my God. Can you move in with us and just follow us around every day? This is like so hype. I thought I hyped guests, but
it's
you put me
true.
To
we are so excited to be here on Confidentially Insecure.
Never forget, Confidentially
it's
Insecure.
A secret that we're all.
Don't tell anybody. That's a little throwback, an inside joke you would only know if you listen to Girls Gotta Eat. But like, yeah. Bitch, y'all's podcast is on and popping.
Thank you. The joke is that I write the intros for the guests and I wrote the name of your podcast down wrong and then said it wrong. Other than that, Girls Gotta Eat, it's a dating podcast, comedy, dating, relationship, sex. We have a huge range of guests on. So people like you are perfect. They can do comedy and talk about mental health. You are really like our ideal guest.
People were like obsessed with your episode.
I've been on like a million podcasts, right? So do promo and book stuff. I have never gotten the feedback from an audience that was so fucking kind and like supportive and vulnerable than y'all's audience.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah,
you're like, are the best.
People are great. It's amazing for us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, do you guys think of your listeners as fans or friends, or is it just like material?
I'm laughing because Ashley becomes best friend.
Yeah, we joke because I'm friends with like
stop.
I'm always in the DMs like, hey girl, like they'll like because they're like younger, a lot of them. So they call me mom and they're just like, mom, I'm dealing with something. And I have a few that we talk about and like we've, you know, met them at shows and like multiple shows and we just love them and they feel like friends. But
yeah,
we're so lucky to have them. We wouldn't have this job and career without them. And they're so great. I mean, most of them, you know,
it's just very far and few between assholes, right?
Yeah.
We're lucky that they're a lot, mostly female.
Same. We're like 80-90% over here.
What a dream, honestly. Right? They surprise us all the time. They're really smart and open. They share their stories with us all the time. I can't believe what people entrust us with in terms of stories. So,
well, they're so funny. Like so much of our content comes from them, you know, like they've helped us name segments. Like they're just so, their stories. I'm like, damn, she's funnier than me. You know, like someone will write something. I'm like, oh, that's so good.
That's my joke.
Never would have thought of that.
Y'all bitches, podcasty people, are you shooketh by the success or are you used to it by now? Because you guys have been in the podcast game for a minute.
When we started, we set out to start the podcast. We started it 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago in February. We said day one, like, let's make this a business. Let's make this a great thing. Let's sink money, time, resources into this. Yep. It wasn't just like, let's throw some stuff at the wall and see if it sticks.
Let's like
you know?
Just talk and record the conversation. I think that's the 100%, biggest misconception.
Yes. Like it had a structure that hasn't really deviated since. Like it was really like, this is how I still can't believe it sometimes that like we have stick to the same structure that it was day one. And
it works.
Like we treated it. Cause you see that a lot. You see podcasts are like, we're funny. We're funny sluts. Let's just start talking and make it, you know, whatever. And so, we were, are you mad? I called you a slut.
No,
called you guys sluts. It's a term of endearment.
I strive to be slutty. That's
a hoe, a bitch. You call me a cunt. I'm like, thank you. Like a guy on the street. I'm like me.
Man says it. I don't.
But I'm like funny sluts. I feel like is there a podcast called Funny Sluts? Because I just like that. It rolls off the tongue.
There should be.
Okay. Well.
But Ashley and I like also walked into the podcast day one being like, this is going to be about our lives. We're going to talk about our lives. We're going to let people into everything. Yeah. I definitely had to have some conversations over the years with like friends, family. Like I talk about this stuff. This is going to happen. Everybody's been so supportive. Yeah. But Ashley and I always since day one have been really open and honest about our lives. And I think that just like you, people really value like authenticity over authority. Which is why people liked your episode because you don't have to be a psychotherapist to talk about anxiety.
Right. And it's not clinical. And like, I think that applies exactly to the subjects that you guys are talking about.
Right. And I think you do the same where you're like, I'm not a doctor, but listen, here's my experience. If it speaks to you, then great.
And I think your guys' Girls Gotta Eat is like known for being a staple New York City like vibe, which do you feel like that's different than the rest of the country or the world? Like, do you feel like you've gained different experience?
Like gain different experience. What do you mean?
Like living, like being East Coast, like basically Carrie Bradshaw living lives.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I only moved to New York 4 years ago. So I was in Atlanta for 10 years and I was dating there. And yeah, it's a totally different thing. It's like,
yeah,
you do feel like you're in the fucking Sex and the City. That sounds so cheesy. Not now, we're in a pandemic, but like it would feel like that some nights. Like it really was like, you would go on a date and you would start with like a drink on a rooftop, and then you'd end up in some like underground sake bar, and then you would be at a dive bar, and then you'd make out on the street, like, and like cabs whizzing by. Like, I know it sounds so cliche and crazy, but
I used to live in New York, so I can say these things.
Yeah. And there'd be garbage. Like you would just like step over a pile of trash, and then you come home and you fall into your bed in your studio apartment, and you're just like, what a night. Like it's real. It's real.
Uh-huh. And for me, at least, like I've lived here for almost 14 years at this point. So I forget that everybody lives different experiences. And so like one of the gifts of the podcast is that like Ashley and I get emails from people from every single background in the world. And it has really made me realize like just how different all of our experiences are, but how similar we all are too.
Yeah.
And that's been an interesting experience.
Like, I think there's a bluntness that comes with New York dating that you don't like, not only the city, but the people and the business, like everything's just a little bit more like upfront, but I feel like that's not the way it is the rest of the world. So I feel like all of my city girlfriends just have had, like they've just gotten the shit out of the way sooner and quicker and faster and better than like the majority of the rest of the group chat.
100%. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes then people, it shocks them a little. Like they're like, oh, okay. Wow. You just like said what you were feeling right away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know? Do you guys get compared to other kind of like sex positive podcasts? Cause I feel like there are a lot of young, like funny comedian women that started doing like sex positive, body positive, feminine positive podcasts that have just blown up.
I think everybody wants to compare every woman to each other and pit them against each other and be like, they hate each other. And I don't know. I mean, I think Ashley and I have always just tried to like look forward, not look left or right, and just be like, what separates us? You know, we took our show on the road. We started doing live shows and we were like, okay, what does a live podcast look like? Can this be a comedy show? Should it be a variety show? So people compare us, but I think something that always differentiated us was the live shows as well. And just like the big over the top experience that we provide in person.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. There's not going to be any apologizing stepping on words here. We're on Zoom and we're chatters.
I like that you said that. I remember watching this one of my favorite documentaries. It's the Defiant Ones. It's like a 4-part HBO with about Dr. Dre and the music industry in general over like the whole period of time that I grew up. Mm. And he said that there's that part where Jimmy Iovine says like, that's why racehorses wear blinders. So they like, don't see the horses to the left and the right. I like jumped up. And then right after he says that, then they start playing 50 Cent going, go Shorty. And I was like, I stood up on the couch. I was running around the room. I was like, I was so inspired. I was like, that's so true. Like, you have to keep tabs on what people are doing and what the industry is doing. But I think there's something really nice about like, I feel like we both lived our lives in a way that like, you don't do what other people are doing. That's the point. You know, like when we started touring, we were like, people were like, we've never seen that done before. Like, you know, that's not really a typical live podcast. And we're like, exactly. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds so fun. One of the fan questions we had right in was like, are you guys going to start going live again or, you know, doing live shows again? And I feel like that's such a tricky question because even my agency's like, are we doing a podcast tour this year? Got canceled last year. And I'm like, I don't know.
We check in with our agent every week. We have our finger on the pulse every week. We're like, where can we go? What's open? What is the CDC saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, we would love to get on stage. We're not going to endanger any of our fans. Right, so like whatever is safe and legal is what we're going to do. We are doing shows, smaller shows in Florida in May. And then we're just figuring it out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like it's an interesting media that we're in, right? Like you can listen to the podcast. You can make that your staple. You can, that brand is very repeatable. That form is very repeatable, but growing as a podcast that is, has such an all encompassing kind of theme to it with like sex, love, dating, relationships. It's like, how do you make that grow? How do you make the audience grow with you? Is it paying attention to pop culture? Is it, you know, really just sharing that lived experience? I feel like women led sex positive pro feminism podcasts are like taking over the fucking world. Like, I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I'm only listening to other lady podcasts.
Oh, for sure. And I guess even aside from podcasting, just the TV, I mean, we're talking on our episode coming up about just even like the teen movies that come out now are just like so much more inclusive and so pro women and pro women's empowerment. It's just like all across the board. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't need to listen to like any misogynistic men ever.
I saw the funniest TikTok the other day that was like, truth men aren't going to be able to handle. And it was like, guys listen to like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan because they didn't have father figures telling them how to be a man. So they have to listen. And I was like, send it to every guy I fucking know. And I was just like, they have that and the rest of the world. I have just really connected and enjoyed these like strong feminine voices in my earbuds, playing on my phone while I'm cooking, in the car. Well, you guys probably don't do cars, you do subways, but like just having that voice around me all the time keeps me confident, keeps me stable, grounded, moving forward with the pussy power revolution.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things about podcasts is that it's been normalized to talk about all these things that like only a crazy unhinged person would have talked about even 5 years ago. And yes! I always use this example, which is that my fiance left me when I was 28 and love I was, thank you so much. It was a really good experience. For me,
girl.
I always say like, I thought I was legitimately the only person this had ever happened to. I thought that like your life was over if your man left you at 28, that no one else had ever been humiliated this bad and I was never going to be in love again. And I just didn't have female role models that were like talking about this, normalizing this. And like Ash and I were talking about before we got on here with you, like no one ever told me there's 1,000 ways to be happy. You don't have to have kids. You don't need to get married. Or you can have kids on your own and not be with a partner. No one ever told me any of
Thank
that
you,
stuff.
Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
Paving the way so we could fucking run. Right.
Ashley likes to say Diane Keaton, actually. That's her. Ashley's a Diane stan.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm on the fence lately. It's not important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, like literally was talking about this with my best friend yesterday of like, we've always said forever that society thinks relationship equals marriage equals success. And anything that's not marriage is considered a failure. Like you're not succeeding. You're doing something wrong. There's something broken about you. But myself as a queer bisexual woman in an open relationship has never fucking subscribed to the marriage idea. Although I find myself to be a serial monogamist who likes to be in open relationships. I'm so fucking glad the world is changing. Like, I think the fact that we're going to tell our children that like you were supposed to get married when I was your age, they're going to be like, what? I feel that way now.
Right. And it's also like, I mean, this isn't a hot take here that half of marriages end in divorce. And, you know, and you see like everybody, and not that I'm looking up to people in Hollywood by any stretch, but what we see in these quote unquote, you know, role models, famous people is like, they've been married 3 times or, you know, like, is that successful? Is that a failure? 3 failed marriages? Like, you know, where none of it matters. You know, we love to say that if you, a relationship that you were together for 2 years and there was a lot of love there and you learned a lot is a success. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, like my breakup and Raina's broken engagement, like led us to what we're doing now. Like we couldn't thank those guys enough.
So right.
It's just like, what a success that was.
Dodged a bullet.
I hate that too, that like talking about success and failed marriages. And it's like, I don't know. Like, did you come out of it a better person? Did you learn a lot? Did you like have a lot of like kinky sex? Were you in love? That sounds like a win to me. And now just, I don't know, find somebody else.
Right. What did you stay in your relationship and be miserable? Is that success?
I always say that it's easier to stay comfortable.
Yeah. We support whatever makes you happy. And so anytime somebody messages us and says like, your words helped me to make a better decision for myself, whether it was making the relationship better or leaving the relationship or fucking better, or getting a raise, we're always just like, that's what makes me so proud.
Yeah. And you know, I speaking of like taboo subjects, like, you know, you just mentioned it, money, sex, untraditional relationships. I know for me, I got started on the internet 10 years ago. Then I joined BuzzFeed for 5 years. And then now, you know, I've got my own stuff and brand. So for me, I've been doing this for 10 years, maybe even 11, Jesus Christ. But I've been putting my soul on the internet for this long. So it was like around the age of 20 where my mother was just like, oh, okay, I will never be able to post your shit on my Facebook. Like, got it. My father is never going to go to like his church Bible study and be like, I'm so proud of my daughter. She like booked herself on a fucking, you know, queer dating show where she gets to say the word cunt like every 3 seconds. Like, do you guys feel that because of this sort of brash, brazen, bold, like lingo and experience you share about has built the audience? Or do you think it's just like fucking time?
I think you're gonna ask if our parents still love us.
I'm like, my mom loves that. We talked about my mom on Monday. People love her. She's an icon. Yeah. I'm the same as you are. I've been living my life on the internet since I guess my first blog I started was in 2009, maybe. Like, it's
a blog for you children listening is a written form of a vlog.
So I just think it's the honesty. You know, I think that when I was younger, I would not like certain, you know, people in the media that maybe everyone else liked, because I just felt this lack of authenticity. And I think the first person I really gravitated towards and was like, I want to be like, was Chelsea Handler. And I just feel like, and you look like her. And so I just, that's what it is. I don't think that you have to be so, I think it's refreshing for people to hear women talk about sex so openly, you know, curse, like just say what's on their mind and not be scared and being shamed or whatever it is. But even if you're not the type of person, even if you, you know, are, you know, you're a Christian and you don't curse and you whatever, but you still feel authentic to yourself. Right. I think that's what people pick up on. I think smart people, that's why we love our audience, because that's why they love our show. And that's why I choose the content I choose.
And I think that my whole life, I was always the kind of person that like said these things where people were like, wait, what? Like, I always talked about sex pretty openly. I mean, I come from a sex positive environment, but I was always the kind of person that was like, Raina says some crazy shit. And listen, I'm not one of those people that's like, you know, I tell it like it is. I, you know, I've tacked in class, but
you're not a bitch.
I'm not an asshole. But people would say that, you know, I just tell it like it is. I'm like, that means everybody hates you. But okay. I just think that Ashley and I are really open and honest about sex, the gross parts of sex, the really painful parts of relationships and families and friendships. And people are like, oh yeah, same. Eating that thing made my pussy smell like that thing. So
yeah, we'll exactly talk about whatever. What I was thinking. I didn't
know the road you were going down. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie. I probably have like 13 episodes of just my vagina, just my personal pussy problems. And like my confidants, I always say like, you guys know my pussy better than my gynecologist and my partner right now.
But like, saying pussy, like I have a friend, she's a good friend of mine. She's been on our podcast. Her name's Kate Kennedy. She is a great podcast and brand. And she's super open and honest and incredible, but she just like doesn't say pussy.
I know,
like,
women that fucking are like, they just can't.
She like looks up to us. She's like, you say it so freely. Just like, it wasn't always like this. I wasn't throwing pussy around.
I was like, I wasn't born in this lifestyle.
This lifestyle chose me, baby.
But it just, I liked that. I feel like I felt that crossover when I was like, oh, this rolls off the tongue now, baby. This feels nice. Like, so
well, yeah, it's the other thing of like adding comedy to these subjects always, you know, soothes.
We get tripped up on this too.
Soothes.
I hate that word.
There's a Thai restaurant across from my apartment. It's called Soother.
Soother.
No.
I can't do it.
I hate this word.
I hate it.
But I can say pussy all day long.
Okay, that's the point. That's what I'm saying. Is like, there's a little bit, honestly, like my PR lady was so hype when I got like the email to do the podcast with you guys. Like, they're based out of New York and they're just like, oh my God, this is so exciting. I was like, oh my God, you guys have impact. And speaking of impact, we had a lot of fans write in some questions about the podcast that I'm going to ask you now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And by the way, like, yeah.
No, say whatever you want. One of our listeners recommended.
I was going to say that too. Like, we had an email about you in our like you know, guest ideas folder.
I just
and
know.
It was from a listener that was like Kelsey Dara. And we were like, I was like, who is this? And then we got very like fangirl. We're like, do you think we could get her? Like we
Are
started
you
like
the fact that you just told me that, I just got such a rock hard boner. Are you kidding me? I was like, if you guys aren't busy, I'm over here. If you would be so gracious, like when you know, your PR team, they're like, okay, what are the dreams? And like, that was on the list for
oh,
sure.
Oh my God.
There you go. The last thing you shoot your shot.
Yeah. Fucking hyping each other up.
And you're just like
shit.
Such a pro. Like your episode was so easy to edit. It's just like you, it's like when I walk away, yeah. I can feel it where I'm like, that's going to be easy.
Yes. And it, like, speaking of, a lot of these questions were podcast specific questions, not necessarily like relationship and advice questions, which I like. Like, I think Hit a us. Lot of people are more interested in the behind the scenes.
The tech
like
aspect.
Well, yes. Lots of Premiere Pro users. What do right, first well, question, what do you edit on? Are you a Audible or a GarageBand?
I know. Yeah, listen, if you really want to know, we're just GarageBand. It's just like started from the bottom. We're
it's
still at the
great.
Bottom.
No, I was iMovie at BuzzFeed. We had no budget. People know this. I'm like very salty about it. Still, we had an iPhone. We shot and recorded on an iPhone, and microphones were iPhones.
Yeah. It's always amazing when you hear like behind the scenes of these companies, and you're like,
oh yeah.
What?
It's so funny because that could go either way. That could be like a shade of BuzzFeed or just like, or it, like an ad for iPhone. Like you're like, when we were BuzzFeed,
we did have a Google Pixel deal and they were making us use Google Pixels to vlog on everything. And I was like, no one wants to fucking do this. Give us back our iPhones. But yes, people actually did want to know, what is the process of recording and uploading for you guys? You're such a big brand. You've been doing this for 3 years. Do you handle things yourself or do you have a team?
Ashley, I don't even take all the tech questions.
No, I feel like people don't believe that we still do this ourselves. And sometimes I don't believe it because I'm done doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. I did so much research on equipment and we have like a great soundboard and decent mics. We should upgrade our mics and we just record right into GarageBand and then I edit in there. And I mean, there's tons of different things we do, especially with remote interviews. And I do a lot of sound tweaking and, but yeah, I mean,
especially
we still,
with Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom. Like we had to really perfect and they're not always perfect. Some of some stuff still sounds bad. And, you know, some of that's on the guest side too, but like I've had to learn a lot with the pandemic on like how to do remote and have it sound. And we will get messages sometimes and they make me feel so good where they're like, you guys are one of the podcasts I listen to that still sounded so great during the pandemic. And I took so much pride in that, but yeah, I'm still doing it. Our episodes are like, I'm just a psycho.
They're intense.
I edit them so like not so heavily in that we say a bunch of stuff we need to come out, but like just for tightness and just for brevity and just kind of like how stuff that doesn't need to be there. We want it. We want every like second to count, I guess.
Totally.
And it's, I wish I could just like clone my brain and method to someone else. Cause I would love to get back
free
those
up that brain
8 hours, know, like whatever it is. But
well, this is, I mean, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours per week, but this is like a 7 day a week job for us. And we really are such a team. And of course we have people who work for us. We have agents, we have managers, we have ad sales people.
We're not doing ad sales,
but do all this stuff for us. But in terms of like running the social media, booking the guests, correspondence, all the meetings, all the production, we do it. And I think that's why our show's good. I think that our show is special because Ashley edits it. We touch every part of our business.
Right.
And we recorded with somebody once and I forget how she phrased it, but she was like, yeah, I don't really know when the episode's going to come out. I just sort of send it off into the void and they produce
it. Oh God, that would
be
so
never.
Anxiety.
we want to title it. We want to write the descriptions. Ashley titles them and writes the descriptions. We just like having our hands in everything.
You're answering all my questions.
Do you edit yours or what is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, a lot of people were like, how do titles get generated?
Sunday nights at like 10:30 PM, Ashley texts me every Sunday night and says, what are we thinking for episode titles? And I say, I don't know. What do you think? And she tells me, and then that's what we go with.
No, Raina, you put in input sometimes. No, it's usually a collaborative effort.
Confidants, y'all know I believe in products that make you feel good, which is why I'm telling you about Care Of, baby. Care Of is high quality vitamins formulated with feel good for you clean ingredients that are backed by science, because we believe in science, baby. And Care Of makes it super easy with personalized subscriptions delivered straight to your door each month, contact free, so you never have to worry about running out. I keep my Care Of vitamins in my desk drawer. I take them with my daily crazy head pills and my vagina health pills. And the Care Of now has an app that allows you to track your routine. First, you just got to take Care Of's in-depth online quiz, which asks you questions about your diet and lifestyle, health concerns. Like for me, I wanted to manage my chronic pain and obviously my anxiety. And doing this quiz is like getting a holistic one-on-one consultation without having to leave your house. So spring, get it, because it's almost spring, into a healthy mindset and lifestyle. Begin to focus on your health as we make our way out of that winter hibernation, baby. We bears no more, and into warmer weather like the spring little chickens that we are. For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code CONFIDENT50. That's right, for 50, that's half off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CONFIDENT50. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
There you go. Asking me, she's not telling me this is what we're doing.
It's
she's
a bounce boy.
She's a great writer, and so I like her ideas. It's not me being like, she just tells me what's happening, and then we do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I think it's really important too for listeners to hear how time, consuming doing a brand like this is. And funnily enough, we did have a lot of compliments about the social media, because your social media has just, I mean, it's amazing. It is so consistent. It's always so positive. I never feel like I'm seeing the same thing twice. Like, so, you know, one of the questions was, how many hours per week are you putting into the brand? And I guess that just means, like, you say 7 days a week, but like, do you have time for other stuff?
Yeah, it's and I mean, it's we're not tethered to a computer 7 days a week. We just talk about it a lot. You know, this would be a great guest. This would be a great thing to post. This is a funny meme, you know.
Yeah. And Raina is responsible for the social media in terms of like the aesthetic. Yeah. So we just, for like 2+ years, it was just, we had like a format that looked decent. It was a video or an image and then a meme. And then Raina just said like, this is fucking stupid. And I was like, go off. Like, you're right. And so we just redesigned it, and she designs all the templates, and it has a look.
I use Canva. Yeah. That's my big tip.
We
have a designer who we love in LA, and she designed our website and our tons of stuff that we do. She did design some of like the Instagram stories, the feed posts, and then I just take it and run with it. But one day Ash and I were like, we don't have to be tethered to this one thing. Like, let's make it pretty
thing.
Like we did the same thing where it was like, we will have a meme on Mondays. We will have a video trailer on Wednesday. And then I've got some really amazing, incredible two ladies that run it for me that I'm just like, you guys are young and way more with it than I am. Just fucking post whatever you want. As long as it's consistent and we're growing and we're connecting with the audience, like go off. I just let them do, cause they're so much cooler than me. You know?
There has to be a reason to go to the page. You're great. I love your social media. Actually, you always have this really great.
Your merch. You sent us some of the merch.
Oh my god! Yes, the sensitive merch. Did it all come in one piece?
It's all amazing, and it's just as for me, as you know, being a Cancer, it just feels like it speaks to me. Like it's
love that.
I feel like you could also brand it as just like Cancer gear,
Cancer accessories. I love that,
which is just But I'm sensitive. It says that. It's just. It's great.
Aw, thanks. You know, I've weirdly had a lot of dudes like it. Like I've had some guy friends be like, yo, can I cop a sweatshirt? I'm like, fucking really? I think they're kind of using it as like
100%. Like the women will walk up and want to fuck them.
Yeah. And it looks cool. Like I, you know, I had a friend design some of it and she's like pretty like in the fashion industry. So I trust her. But like, I think it's a statement, you know, like okay, for a guy.
I can, you're so right. Like you need to actually like stop letting men buy it. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I can see a world in which a guy wears that to a bar because we're hopefully starting to get back into the bars and every woman comes up and has 100%. To say something about
it. And it's like, oh my God, I love that sweatshirt. That's so fun. Like my dad wears it all the time because he's like very proud of his child, but he wore it skiing, which I thought was hysterical. And everyone on the ski lift would be like, hey, it's Mr. Sensitive again. Have a great ski day. And he's like 75. It's fucking hysterical. But
so
I'm like,
cute. We need, my brother is so sensitive, but he's like, 6'7", 300 pounds. He's like this huge, like you know, football player. But I know that it's hard to get him merch because he's so giant.
I
but
think
like,
we go to 3XL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just asked you. Can you see Matt?
I'm sensitive. Yeah. I'm gonna crop that shirt. I think I'm gonna like make it like a crop. I feel like it's so hot as a crop. Maybe me and Matt can like wear them together.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Another interesting question about the podcast that I have things to say, but a recent controversy has come up with David Dobrik and Jason Nash about their podcast and how they don't split it evenly with a co-host. Are you split? Well, no. That's not the controversy, obviously, that we could talk about.
The other controversy. Okay.
Oh, bitch. The other controversy I could talk about.
I like stayed up all night.
Same.
I am so mad.
I'm
filled with rage. Invested. I feel like I have bile in my throat. Like I just have been
angry.
Girl,
you and I could talk off thread. I got some things to say. All right.
Well, yeah, let's do a second hour of the podcast.
I got, once you said David Dobrik, I was totally clouded. So can you repeat the whole thing?
You want to know financially if we split the money or?
So their whole thing was like, I think it started as a joke where David was like, I'm only giving Jason 10%, but then it became like a real problem that they weren't addressing. And people were constantly asking like, do you seriously only give Jason 10% to be like 50% of the podcast? But for you guys, like, do you split it 50-50? Do you go according to how much workload? Like, or is that a private fucking question where you're like, none of your fucking business?
I think we just can answer with it's all 50-50. Like, that's awesome. So in our whole, Rain and I have a corporation together. We really raw dogged it for like a year where
we're
both still just, you know, doing our normal thing. And we had like a spreadsheet of who it doesn't matter, but once we made it official, everything goes right into the business and then someone manages that for us. And then we still make a little extra money on the side with social media stuff that we do and our accounts like balance all that out. But in terms of, it's never been even a question. So like every single dollar from ad sales, from shows, we're really lucky. Like we've never had a problem and there's no question of workload or ownership of it. I've had people come to me with like, my partner's not pulling his weight. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I can't relate. I can give some advice, but I can't actually relate because with us, I've had past experiences, but we have it. Mm-hmm. We did good.
Yeah. We're lucky. We didn't really, I'll speak to a little more. We didn't really know each other very well when we started the podcast. We met 6 months before we started the podcast. We liked each other a lot, but we didn't know each other's backgrounds and history. So, you know, Ashley and I share a business bank account. We share everything. So
that
like
could be intense.
I had the it can be scary if you don't trust the person, yeah. you know, and she can sign things on my behalf and vice versa. And oh yeah, God, it's trust. Never been an effort. It's never been like, it's never been an issue. Like, hey, I feel like you're not pulling your work. We've both been through bad times right. in our life where the other person has to pull a little more, but you know, Ashley produces the show and she writes the live shows. I do the merchandise, the social media, the guest booking. And it just sort of naturally fell into like, you know, what do you like doing? What are you good at? But I mean, I have a partner that I can depend on. She works really hard. And so it makes me want to work hard. Like I would never want to like not pull my weight because I don't work with somebody that doesn't pull their weight.
Well, I think that's so refreshing to hear because again, like you don't want to see your hero, like you don't want to really meet your heroes. Right. And I think that like it put a bad taste in people's mouth when they heard that like views was getting split that way. And, you know,
it's weird.
It's but weird.
Was it true or was it?
I think it might be
so weird.
Call Her Daddy was like that, you know, where the one girl was kind of like a sidekick and they had all that falling out from money.
Right. She's like, out in LA now, right? I
think she is. The other girl or Sophia is still in Utah. I don't know. But also then I kind of like, we were invested, but then now I feel like, did we really get the whole story? I mean, I always say that you never really know. Like,
yeah,
anybody,
right.
You know, like,
well, I think that's why people wanted to know. Cause they see your friendship. They see your co-hostiness of being like a true authentic thing. And it would like, you know, I think it would bum some people out to hear that it's not like that behind the scenes. Right.
No, it totally is. It's like,
we never fight.
We do fight, but I just think
I was like you're lying.
It's so like, I don't know. I think that there are people that just naturally aren't hard workers, or there's also that aren't smart. I mean, there's an intelligence aspect here too, but just like in terms of how much you want to do, like I've worked with people that they thought they were working hard, but that just, it wasn't.
And I'm like, your speed.
Yeah. And so Rain and I have the same work ethic. Like
that's amazing.
Exact. And
we
so,
love like a strong female business relationship. Model.
I'm thinking of this other girl I'm sort of friends with, and everything is like everybody else's fault. And every time she fails, it's somebody else's fault. And every time she's not succeeding in business, it's not her content, it's other people's issues. And that would be the hardest thing for me to work with, somebody that's just like a no person, that's a everything else is everybody else's fault type of person.
Honestly, I was really glad to pick the questions because, of course, we had like relationship dating ones, but I was like, I was kind of glad to look more back, like deeper into the female podcast relationship because I just think it's such, like I said, such an influential and special thing. So I appreciate you guys being so transparent and open. But now I would like to play a fun little game with you too. By the way, I'll say this one later because this one's actually super funny. But so this game, it's a would you rather, but I'm calling it the because life is different now edition, not the pandemic edition, because I don't want people to think I'm making a game out of the pandemic, but it's kind of like the world is different now. So now we're having a conversation about how the world has been different and it's that kind of would you rather.
Okay.
We are not politically correct on this podcast. Okay. So because we're all like dating from home, working from home, are you someone that would rather have video sex or phone sex?
Okay. Phone sex, 100%. Here's why. I just don't want to hold the phone. I don't want to like, I don't want to like video myself while I'm trying to masturbate. It's strictly from a logistical standpoint.
Okay.
I don't want to be bothered. And I think that there's a nice point at which you're like masturbating and you're like gonna come. You're just listening to the person like also come. Strictly. It's
fantastic.
I don't want to be bothered to hold a video.
Got it. No tripods for you.
I've said this before in our show, I've had phone sex. I haven't had video FaceTime sex. So that is just such a comfort level of the person on the other end. So I can definitely see a situation in which I do have video FaceTime sex with like someone that I'm in a
relationship. Like if you see my butthole hairs, I'm not like, oh my God, I can't edit that out. It's like fucking, like,
we just, we shared the story on our podcast, on the most recent episode of our friend of ours. She's been dating this guy long distance and he saran wrapped his phone so he could like come at it. So like on a video, she could have it feeling like it was like coming at her.
And I'm so turned on by this. slash I can never meet him. I am. I like some weird dirty cum stuff, but I can't ever meet this guy now.
I mean, I'm just impressed by the creativity.
Same.
So well, he has kids. So it's like he knows arts and crafts.
For them. Like, I was like, well, he has children.
No, like, I was like, so he has saran wrap or like what?
Saran wraps them.
Yes, yeah. All the things. You guys think you're being jokey. No, he has saran wrap. He knows arts and crafts and he knows how to keep things clean because kids are a mess.
They're sticky like cum.
Of course a dad is going to do that.
Kids are sticky like cum. Please yes! don't ever, ever quote me on that, listeners. Okay.
Kids are absolutely
setting. She was like, well, yeah, he comes with a phone. I mean, he has kids, you know, he saran wraps them and comes on them too. Like,
right up.
No.
The way that dad equals saran wrap, like we're really living in 2021, aren't we? Like stay at home dad, cook clean.
Well, the quote is definitely leftovers. Like kids are sticky like cum. That was because
put it on a shirt.
Number one adjective that people say about kids is sticky.
Sticky.
They're always sticky.
Ugh, no thanks. Not for me. Okay, moving on. This one's a little saucy. Post vaccination, post like being safe, would you rather meet up for a date with a Republican or an anti-vaxxer?
Republican.
Is that that's not the same.
actually it's the same, but
no, let's say in this instance they're different. One's the anti-vaxxer's an independent.
I just think in the last 4 years the waters have gotten muddy as though there's two kinds of people in the whole world. There's only right. Democrats and Republicans. Is it my dream to date somebody who's a fiscal Republican? Yes. But
we're all fiscal. No.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, I'm Republican and conservative. Like financial. We're like, you want to keep more of your money? Yes. Same. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But so I mean,
we're
I wouldn't
Republican.
If somebody was a Trump supporter Republican. Yeah. I would never go out with you. Like, but I guess facts.
Oh, this is so tough. And like, there's such a specific profile of a female anti-vaxxer. It's very like, they sell essential oils. Like, you know, so they have like faith, family, you know, God first, usually in their bio, like wife, mama, like
they don't believe in vaccines, but they believe in God. Hysterical. I don't understand how that person.
Hysterical. So I don't even know. Like, I would say also we all know that there is a difference between a Republican and a Trump supporter. So yes. It's just, yes, I've like, you know, my uncle's a registered Republican, whatever.
Whose isn't?
A great guy and he hates Trump and he's, you know, but I'm just going to go with Republican as well. But I want to say that I don't really know the male anti-vaxxer profile. Like, is it
either
in capital
storm?
I
learned this morning on the New York Times Daily podcast.
What is it?
So they were saying like, what's the profile of people that aren't getting vaccinations? And they were hypothesizing, is it people that are minorities and have been traditionally not given trust or kindness to the government? But traditionally it is white male conservatives that voted for Donald Trump. That voted for him the second time. Like, really?
Fucking Christ.
You know, like that is the profile.
Yeah. Okay. Like, super MAGA people, you see them on the news. They're like, I'm not taking that. I don't know what's in it. So,
it's the government putting cameras in my body. Fucking wish. That would be so sick. Are you kidding?
So, the Republican, like, but is it like Josh Hawley? No, I'll take anybody over that absolute monster. That was a tough one.
So, no, it was a generalized, but consensus was Republican. And I think I have to agree. But have you guys found in your friendship circles at all that you found out people are like anti-vaccine? Because I have, and it's shaking me to my core that I'm like,
so
finding this out.
Absolutely not in like our friend groups, but I have a family member that's like, it doesn't feel anti-vax conspiracy theorist.
It's,
you know,
more like cautious, not
and just
sure.
They're not, you know, political. Like it just feels very like. He said he's had problems getting flu shots before. I didn't get into it with him. It's like, I also just, I don't want to cause a rift with, because it wasn't like spreading a bunch of conspiracies.
Sure.
And I kind of just cut the conversation off, but
that's different. That's
in that like, he had an opportunity to get it and he didn't like early on because he's essential. And I just was like, I'm bummed. I wish that you got it. You know, I wish that you got it. So that was my only experience.
I don't think I have any. One of my good friends' moms won't get it. I mean, I
but it's like older, right?
It's somebody who's an older, I grew up in Pittsburgh, which is, I mean, one of my favorite places in the world. I grew up there, but it is traditionally a more blue collar place. I think you do see people voting Republican more, which is the profile of people that won't get vaccines. But even then, yeah, I don't really know anybody, especially now when the vaccine's been around for a little while. And these myths of like, it wasn't researched enough or started to be debunked.
Right.
I don't know anybody.
It's just, I thought that so many people probably have, like, you know, months ago, that if you were quote unquote anti-vax, cause you were just kind of fearful of it being rushed to market, you know,
that's
my feeling was that a lot of these people have changed their mind and they're like, I want to go back to living a normal life. And everybody in my community has gotten it and it feels safe. Right. I said early on, I don't want to be the first in line.
You don't want your arms to fall off or something. You're like,
I wasn't going to go do a clinical trial. That's just that would have been.
Yeah. Not for you.
We work 7 days a week. We mentioned that, right?
I heard. Yes.
I briefly dated a guy that he did a vaccine trial. And I thought that was so admirable that he did that. But then the joke was that he did AstraZeneca. I'm like, I can't be dating the AstraZeneca.
Oh, no, you can't be dating the AstraZeneca guy.
Because I asked him, I was like, who found out? I said, was it Pfizer or Moderna?
It's okay, maybe.
But it was so funny because I was like, is it Pfizer or Moderna? And when he said AstraZeneca, I was like, we got to just be friends. Like,
We are friends now.
Listen, but like, my examples definitely aren't that extreme, but like, I've found people in my like circles and adjacent that I would have never known that they didn't, like, some of them don't believe the vaccine or the that COVID's real. And like,
well, you're in California.
I know, but I would never have figured that out unless this fucking pandemic happened. And I'm just like shook to my core. And I'm just like rethinking everything. I'm like, when things go back to normal, I'm not hanging out with you.
I felt like that in Atlanta. Like when when I lived there, moved right after the election of 2016. So I found myself get closer to, you know, Trump getting elected, like kind of realizing I was at like at dinner with people, like not close friends, but like, you know, fringe friends in my social circles that were like, really,
I'm from Florida.
Yeah. So they're all, I was still like, I'm out of here. Yeah.
Fuck. Okay. We've got two more and this one is sassy. Would you rather let your boss, I don't know, let's just say you have a boss, catch you masturbating on a work Zoom call, or have your mom and dad hear you having sex over Zoom?
So Ashley's mouth is a gate. Ashley's my boss, so I don't want Ashley to catch me. Okay, so your boss catches you masturbating, so visually catches you masturbating.
Yes.
Or your parents audibly catch you having sex.
Right.
So
either like you left your mom and dad Zoom meeting on and then you boned and they can hear it all but can't see it, or your boss can't hear you but like sees you diddling under the table.
I don't
and
want
calls
to,
you out.
I don't want anybody to visually see me having sex. I think that I think that my parents would just make fun of me for the rest of my life. Like, I actually feel like maybe if they heard, like how much moaning is
going.
Is my dad hearing me say like, fill me up with your cum, or is my dad just hearing me moan a little bit? Like,
let's go with fill me up with your cum, because that's the funnier answer.
Yeah. They heard it all. They heard you coming. Bill heard your cum talk.
Okay, listen. If I would rather my boss catch me masturbating with a dildo than my dad hearing me say, fill me up with your cum.
I think
I'm so glad I know that answer. Like, thank you.
First of all, it's like, this is so tricky because it's like, it's, you know, men that have been caught masturbating are creeps, but like, so it's not like a funny thing, I guess, but if
if it's a lady, cause you've never seen such a thing.
Right. So if I was caught masturbating by a superior, my boss, that would be the story that defined me for the rest of my life.
Forever.
If I didn't already do stand-up comedy, I would start, like, it would become the jumping off point for the rest of my life. And so I just would have to have that happen for the story. I kind of want it to happen now. I wish I had a boss, but like,
you want
to
masturbate in front of
my parents?
I'm like right next to you, baby's partnership.
And I could never
Oh my God.
Look at my dad the same. Like if he heard me, my dad's heard me do jokes about sex and stuff like that, but there's something about him. It would just, I felt like it would never be the same.
My dad's 75. He's maybe on his way out. So I'd probably have to go with dad.
He's going to die soon.
Okay. Soon, but it's not as long as I will have a reputation in the business.
You only have a few years of awkward. I hear you.
My dad heard maybe the worst episode of all time. He like didn't listen to the podcast for 2.5 years and he was like, I'm going to do it. And the episode was literally just me talking about all my cum fantasies, how I want guys to masturbate in front of me. I mean, it's shocking. It was disgusting.
This was 2.5 years in. He just decided to queue up an episode and it was insane. Oh.
Right when I say 2 minutes into it, I was talking about blowing that guy on my couch.
Oh, Raina,
it was the most, at one point you said you like to keep cum inside you as lube for the next time you have sex.
My God, dad, what the fuck, dad? Dad, that's your fucking fault. How did you ever see him again? Your own father. I'd be like, we're done, dad. It was so nice knowing you. Thank you. But we're done.
I feel like this is his fault. I feel like he could have stopped listening after 2 minutes into this episode. I was talking about sucking this guy's dick. I mean, he could have just turned it off and he chose not to. He likes listening to our ad reads. I know that sounds crazy, but he worked in ad sales for so long.
Okay.
And he like loves knowing like how Ashley and I make our money. Yeah. What do we get paid? How do we do the ad reads? Is it selling? Are people using your codes? Right. He's like so into the business aspect of it. He like pushed through hearing his daughter say that like, I like when someone pulls my underwear to the side and fucks me.
It's so bad.
Had no idea this question would go to that.
Dad, I had sex with one of his employees years ago. It's a whole stand-up bit. It's like my favorite story, and I've told it many times with my dad in the audience on stage. And the guy's name was the guy's name was Matt Gates. That's like the name in the story. And the other day on the family group chat, my dad brought up Matt Gates like as a joke. Like, my dad's so funny. And my brother was like, exited the chat. My brother, my dad's kind of more, will do more jokes than my brother. He won't. My brother will not be a part of it.
It's something when your parent, you realize your parents were kids once. And it's another thing when you realize your parents were kids once and your parents realize that you're an adult now.
Yes. Like we're not sitting around talking about like sex, but we can joke.
They know you're not fucking virgins and virginity is a construct. So
yeah. And I'm also not saying this just for shock value. My dad's like, okay, she makes money from the show. This is her job.
My dad
sees the dollar signs, you know, he knows I'm going to pay for the retirement.
He's more about the psychology than the content. All right. Yeah, we can respect that. The fact that he's able to still, look you in the
talk
face.
To me.
Okay. Last one. And I thought this was interesting because it goes back to the, like, would you rather video sex or phone sex? But let's say, would you rather work from home as a cam girl without showing your face or a sex operator where anyone could call in knowing it's you?
Oh my God.
Cam girl. Nobody knows it's me. That sounds great.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Some people are like, no fucking way.
Cam girl me.
That's what I would do.
And I'm proud of my body. I love my body. Even if I felt like I looked really hot and it came out years later that was me, I'd be like, it looked great. Bitch, what about it?
I'd be like, say something. I fucking dare you. We're in 2027 now.
If you're a phone sex operator and like people are calling you into high school with just because to like fuck with you, that's a nightmare. That's the worst thing you've asked of all of them.
Have you ever interviewed phone sex operators or like sex workers that do that? Because they turn on such a switch where they will they see it as like acting. They don't, they're just like, oh yeah, you want me to fucking step on your balls and puncture your fucking testicle? Yeah, like I'll cool do job. And I'm just like, I just can't get in that mindset.
Oh my God. But now I'm thinking like, maybe I should call a sex hotline so I can get better, like better lines.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to like work on my lines, you know, like I haven't used any like fresh lines in so long.
This could be an experiment. You could do a whole episode about this.
Ashley's like, should we call a sex line tonight?
I'm kind of like, if you do that, will you let me just like be a witness to it? So I can also see how that goes.
Well, group call you in. Yeah, that's such a good call. Like when you're looking for like dirty talk tips, why not just go to the source?
Like the ones that are inventing the lingo right now. Like, how do we know where like fucking lit and fucking flame come from? It's probably sex work. We steal everything.
I want to learn. I want to be able to learn things. Like my newest one, and I've only, this is like 6 months ago. Yeah, you know, I want you to treat me like I'm just a hole.
Oh God.
I like that.
but you don't honestly love it.
I like it because it's not hurting anyone and it's not like offensive to women. It's more just like, sometimes you do just want to be treated like a
girl. Yeah, it'd be offensive if like a guy, it's, you own the narrative. Like if you said, you can say whatever you want.
If he says it, you're like, no, you needed to ask me that was okay.
I always say like, I really love dirty talk. I think it's really fun. And I like some degrading dirty talk, but I only like that with somebody that I actually care about. Somebody that I know doesn't like hate me and hate women and mean that
or
stuff.
Or one night stands. Like,
yeah, that I wouldn't like. And I had a one night stand with somebody that was saying some wild shit. Listen, I didn't hate it, but,
Because we decided
it was that. That was one of the best nights of my life.
You just contradicted yourself so hard.
But it was that one time. She's not going to risk it.
This was once. And I knew that what happened in Brisbane, Australia was going to stay in Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, well, if it's an Australian, bitch.
With a Colombian. It was a Colombian guy.
He was from
Tampa.
He
wasn't
from Tampa. Oh, wait, I'm from Tampa. Do I know him?
Stop telling everybody.
If he's from Tampa, there's a high chance of me I might know him, because if he's our age, this is a small fucking town. We got offline about this.
Aunt
if
I know man, you don't remember still?
Oh no! Do you have his Insta or like? Do you have any
WhatsApp? I have his WhatsApp.
You need
Listen,
to.
He's from what's... Colombia.
Does he have an 813?
I told you that in confidence, Ashley.
No, because I love Tampa. Like it's a whole thing. Like, yeah.
Wait, I'll does he have an 813 area code? You'll have to let me know. This is all. This is all. See, this is like the perfect spot to end because we have so much to follow up on. We have you with your sex operator talk. You with like, is your father still going to keep looking you in the face? Like the more and more he listens to your episodes, like we've got a lot to come back to.
Yeah.
No pun intended about not coming or anything like that. But ladies, this has been so fun. You guys are so great. I'm so obsessed that our listeners brought us together weirdly. And where can the confidants find y'all?
Ashley always takes us out. I'm letter.
Go. You can listen to Girls Gotta Eat podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple. Our website is girlsgottaeatpodcast.com. You'll see merch there, show dates, tickets, episode directory, bios on us, everything you need to know. And then we're Girls Gotta Eat podcast on Instagram as well. I'm Ash Hess and Raina is Raina.Greenberg and girls_gotta eat on Twitter.
Yep. Shows every Monday and every week they're different and funny, serious, silly. Every week, very different.
Guys, if you like Confidently Insecure, you're going to fucking love Girls Gotta Eat. I promise. And I think that like our audience crossover is probably really strong because we got good people. And I'm so glad you guys came. And I'm glad we're friends. And when the pandemic opens up, I'll be in New York all the time. I know you're coming to LA. We're going to be friends.
Wait.
Yada, yada, yada. Can't wait for the in-person clubs. You guys are fantastic. Confidants, don't forget to rate this 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, please don't rate it because I'm very sensitive. Speaking of sensitive, you can go get the merch. It is available now. Link in description below. And we will see you next week. Bye.